In the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 83, Draupadi meets the queens of Krishna. Text 11. Sri Kalindi said, the Lord knew I was performing severe austerities and penances with the hope of one day touching his lotus feet. So he came to me in the companion, in the company of his friend, and took my hand in marriage. Now I am engaged as a sweeper in his palace. Om Agni Chimanandasya Ganam Jana Shakya Chakshuvani Tanina Tasmai Sri Guru Jai Sri Krishna Jai Gadam Buddhana Sri Advaita Gadana Sivasati Guru Vakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Here we are at Samanta Panchak, at the time of a solar eclipse. Generally an inauspicious time, but because so many extraordinary devotees of the Lord are there, and the Lord himself is there, as well as Balaram, this situation is indeed extraordinary. Especially because here you're having the meeting of the Madhura and the Aishwarya, the sweetness and the opulence. It's a very special situation in which those two aspects of the Lord's Leela are all in the same place and even interacting with one another. As we heard His Holiness Vanu Maharaj explain last week, the Lord is Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, or Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the ocean. He's the form of all loving exchanges. He's the reservoir of all loving tastes. And now in this chapter, as well as the preceding chapter, you'll see indeed how Krishna can handle everyone in their individual aspirations, their spiritual tastes and proclivities. And you'll get confidence that indeed Krishna knows what he is doing. In the previous chapter, you heard how the Yadu dynasty, the Yadavas, and so many other great dynasties had gathered. And you heard about how, in spite of the extraordinary opulence and majesty and royalty of these clans, everyone's attention was upon the Yadavas. And in the Yadavas' midst, the biggest attention getter, of course, is Krishna and his consorts. As Srila Prabhupada explained, when Krishna was present on this planet, no more than 200 persons knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada approximated that way, about 200. What are the others thinking? Who is this Krishna? They are thinking he's the most powerful person on the planet now. Still, he's a human being, he's ordinary, but he's the most powerful. But only maximum 200 or so knew that indeed Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At this Samanta Panchak gathering, the interactions between the various devotees are so stunning and savory. You heard how there were so many pious rituals executed to garner punya, good karma. But the Yadavas are not interested in that. What are they interested in? Every time they would do a ritual for punya, for good karma, they would simply pray, may our devotion to Lord Krishna increase. Because everything they did was for the purpose of 100% pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, the Yadavas are showing how to execute the ordinary affairs of life, while at the same time always be focused upon Krishna. The question is often asked, as we pointed out yesterday, How can one be busy amidst this world? Especially householders who hold a job and are raising a family. How can all that be done? And at the same time, one can be Krishna conscious. So the Yadavas are a stunning example of that. Yes, it's a stunning example. Although no one say is on their caliber, certainly though, humbly, you can take impetus from their example. And indeed, because we have the holy name of Krishna, the special dispensation for the sage of Kali, all the ill effects of Kali Yuga can be counteracted. And indeed, it is possible to keep Krishna in the center of everything. So rather than look at the ocean of impossibility all around us, let us indeed focus upon the glories of the holy name of Krishna, which will bring the perfections of all the other yugas just by the tongue touching that holy name. Therefore, as the 11th canto states, great saints and sages worship Kali Yuga, because in this age one can easily achieve perfection quickly by chanting the holy name of Krishna. As we said, whatever the Yadavas did in terms of rituals, religious activities for piety and enjoying in this world and the next, they simply prayed, may our devotion to Krishna increase. And naturally, when the rituals weren't going on, because yajñas are a great chance for social gathering, a great part of family life is socializing. And so the Vedic yajñas provide an opportunity for that, for everyone to dress up in their finest, just like people in the West used to do on Sunday. They used to have that expression, your Sunday finest. And now, all the so many of the churches, you know, they just relax their dress codes. You can go in shorts and thongs and flip-flops because, you know, some of them, please come. So, 20 or 30 years ago, there was that expression, your Sunday finest. I remember as a young lad, my mother made sure we all the boys had one suit and one necktie, and that was to be worn to church on Sunday. And then Easter Sunday, especially, you had to have a new suit. Everyone would, it was a custom to wear a new suit on Easter, ladies wear a new dress. And even there was a style that the ladies would wear what's called Easter bonnets. And they would sing songs. They'd have a big Easter parade down Fifth Avenue in New York, where we now have Radhayatras. In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. So, religious activities are indeed a chance to socialize with Krishna in the center. Yes, even brahmacharis and sannyasis also socialize. It's a different style. But who is it? Armala Mataji, who's coming in a few days, she commented once that she had to ride in a car with some sannyasis to an airport in Italy. So she commented, you know, whenever householders get together, you can be sure, within 30 seconds, the conversation switches to children and how children are doing. But I noticed, whenever sannyasis are together, within 30 seconds, the conversation switches to traveling and airlines. And So, socializing is there in all ashrams. But sooner or later, the connection to Krishna should become manifest. And indeed, you'll see that at Samanta Pancha. Amidst all these opulent clans and dynasties, in their joyous meeting of each other, and having loving exchanges, and asking about each other's welfare, sooner or later, Shukadeva Goswami points out, the conversation switches directly to Govinda Katha, amongst the Yadavas especially, because that's the way it is, that's the reality. Directly, indirectly, everything is Krishna-centered, and that quickly becomes apparent. So therefore, as we said, even when the Yadavas are performing pious activities, they're 100% Krishna-centered. We pointed out about the rare combining at this location of the Madhura and Aishwarya, the sweetness and the opulence. Those of you who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita know that Lord Chaitanya explains to Sanatana Goswami about the Lord's majestic feature, the Aishwarya, and then the, the sweetness. Krishna is this. He's special as the original personality Godhead. He has the four qualities that he doesn't manifest in the his other forms and expansions. His flute playing, his beauty, his all attractive pastimes, loving exchanges with devotees. That sweetness, that specialty of Swayam Bhagavan, Shyam Sundar especially, not simply Dwarkadish, but Shyam Sundar, that's going to be going on here at Samanta Panchak, amidst all the Aishwarya dealings, all the opulent dealings. So, you have Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, the parents of Nanda Nandana, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. They haven't seen Krishna in so long, since he left Vrindavan promising to come back. And they're going to see Krishna now. At the same time, Vasudeva and Devaki are there. How is all this going to work out? Vasudeva and Devaki are described as nearing the Vrindavan platform, because sometimes they would forget Krishna as God, and sometimes they would remember Krishna as God. Whereas Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they would not consider that Krishna as God. They're all going to be in the same place. Krishna and Balaram are going to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. Indeed, while Vasudeva and Devaki are exchanging greetings with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, quickly, the center of attraction becomes Krishna and Balaram. Up on the laps of Yashoda and Nanda, and they're all crying. Devaki and Rohini, they're watching this. And they're praising Mother Yashoda that actually you are the real parents. You took care of Krishna and Balaram so nicely. Look at the affection that you're feeling. Look at the affection that Krishna and Balaram are feeling. Nothing can compare to your affection. Their love for you supersedes their love for us, Vasudeva, Devaki, Rohini. In fact, the display of love became so intense between Krishna and Balaram and Yashoda and Nanda that Devaki, Rohini, they exited. The sweetness was so intense that somehow or other, by the arrangement of the Lord's pastimes, they exited. But things were due to become even more intense in this rare conjunction of the Aishwarya devotees and the Madhura devotees. They were the gopis. As Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, no one can understand, no one can adequately express how anxious the gopis were to see Krishna. Balaram knew that. Balaram saw the gopis were waiting patiently while Krishna and Balaram were having their exchanges with Yashoda Mai and Maharaj. Balaram saw that, and Balaram thought, better I also exit. But Krishna can have his personal pastimes with the gopis. So you see, it's all a grand arrangement for the exchange of love. Although surrounding the whole intimate exchange of love, of Brajbhakti, surrounding it is the Aishwarya, the opulence. But Krishna knows how to weave his way through all the circumstances. And just like a bee knows how to extract the honey from the flower, Krishna knows how to amplify the loving exchanges of his Vrindavan devotees, even at Samanta Pancha. Still, however, these devotees, these Vrijavasis, they would rather see Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, we have the Ratha Yatra ceremony, in which the Vrijavasis are inviting Krishna, come back to Vrindavan. That's the real place we can have loving exchanges. So Balaram wisely exited to leave Krishna along with the gopis. And then, as you also heard Bhanu Maharaj describe, the Lord showed his expanding ability for the sake of love. Not for the sake of showing his majesty and power, but for the sake of increasing the sweetness of loving exchanges. That is the most prominent feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows how to arrange for love. In fact, his arrangements for love are so inconceivably extraordinary that indeed he comes under the influence of his devotees' love. He arranges for that also. The Lord expanded himself to embrace each gopi. They took him in through their eyes into their hearts, and the Lord from within their heart embraced each one. So each gopi was feeling, Krishna is with me. And then the Lord began to speak with them, implying, are you angry with me? Do you really think I left you? The acharyas say, the gopis were replying, what makes you think we missed you? You may be in anxiety in separation from us, but what makes you think we feel that way? Of course, we know that no words can describe the gopis' separation, feelings of separation from Krishna, Krishna Viraha. And that mood in separation from Krishna is what Lord Chaitanya demonstrated, especially in Puri. And Subhadamadar and Ramananda Roy would sing songs and recite verses to augment the Lord's feelings of separation, which at nighttime became indescribable performances of ecstatic love. And then during the day, Lord Chaitanya would go to the Puri temple, Jagannath temple. And that would be like Samanta Pancha, in which the gopis, they saw Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, the feelings of separation that just overwhelmed at night would be somewhat pacified when the Lord went to see the Jagannath deities in the temple. And when he gazed upon Lord Jagannath, he would be seeing Sakshat Prajendra Nandana, directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. And Lord Chaitanya's mood was, please come back to Vrindavan. And that mood is most heightened in the Ratha Yatra ceremony. After giving the gopis some apparent Jnana Yoga instruction. And actually, you say that I'm God. If that's true, then how can there be separation from me because everything is my energy? Because as we spoke yesterday, Krishna blamed the Lord first. Are you angry, in other words, because we were separated? Don't you know that it is the Supreme Lord who causes people to come together and separate? Just like the wind brings tufts of grass and cotton and dust together. And that same Lord separates everyone. But the Acharyas point out, the gopis are thinking, just cut the talk. Everyone knows you're the Lord. Everyone knows it. They're saying like that with words, but their hearts, of course, can never accept any other understanding than Krishna is their most beloved. So you have to learn how to hear and read the double talk. They are saying, well, everyone knows you're the Lord, so why are you blaming the Lord when it's you who are the Lord who has brought about the separation and all the pain? But they're not thinking Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Their hearts are 100% in the perfection of raga bhakti, spontaneous attraction. Krishna is their beloved. Then Krishna says, all right, if it's true that I'm the Lord, then everything is my energy, in other words, and as you should see association with me through all my energies. The chapter ends up, however, with a most confidential verse, and you'll find that verse quoted a few times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ahush chatena lina nava padaravindam. The gopis are saying that your lotus feet are sought after by the greatest yogis, the greatest gyanis. But we're just simple cowherd girls, caught up in household affairs. We simply ask that your lotus feet be ever present in our hearts. In other words, come back to Vrindavan. Stop the metaphysical discourses. The Acharyas describe how the gopis are saying, this brilliant sun of transcendental knowledge, Jnana Yoga, in which you're explaining your relationship with all the elements and energies of the universe, this bright sun is shining so hotly that we feel a bit burned by it. Because we are Chakora birds. We just relish the light coming from the moon, the soft moonlight. Therefore, please, bring your moonlike self, your moonlight existence, back to Vrindavan. So this verse captures the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Or you could say that Lord Chaitanya captures or demonstrates the mood of this verse. Ahushtatena lina nhava padaravindam yogeshvaraya hriti vichintyam agatabhu taivi. Great mystics, they try to capture the Lord in their hearts. Great philosophers, agatabhu, they try to also attain the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. As for the gopis, samsara kupa patitottaranavalambam, they recognize, the gopis, that the lotus feet of Krishna are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. But unlike the mystic yogis and the gyanis, the gopis have their most confidential personal request. Gehang yusham apimanas yudiyat sadana. We wish that these lotus feet may be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. In other words, we're not great yogis. We can't meditate on your lotus feet. We're still contaminated by the reactions to our fruitive work, our karmic activity. And we don't have the prowess of metaphysical speculators. So, recognizing that we are simple-hearted, women of the village, please, you do something personally to get us out of the well of material life. They're appealing to Krishna. You have to do something personally. And what does that mean? What's that personal thing you have to do? You have to come back to Vrindavan. The right place, the right time, the right mood. Here will not do. And no, we don't want to go to Dwarka with you. Dwarka will be even more majestic and opulent and reverential than the Samanta Pancha setting. That was overpowering with Aishwarya enough. With the chariots, the military pomp, the majesty. Samanta Pancha was enough. What to speak of Dwarka? So, the gopis in this verse are beseeching Krishna in the most personal, intimate way. Save us from the well of material existence by coming back to Vrindavan with us. In this way, the gopis show they are the topmost meditators on Krishna. No mystic yogi or jnani can compare to these foremost devotees of the Lord, who had their incomparable meditation on Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has certified Ramya Kachchit Upasana Rajabhaju Vagenya Kalambita. There is no better way of worshipping Krishna, meditating upon Krishna, than that demonstrated by the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. So how is it that Mahaprabhu, the Nyasi Shiromani, the crest jewel of the Sannyas order, he's recommending as the topmost practitioners of Krishna consciousness, the topmost practitioners of bhakti, he's recommending strongly the path set by the Vrajapadu, the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. So, after Krishna finishes dealing with the gopis, he then switches to his Aishwarya dealings, so to speak. He meets with Yudhisthira and all his other relatives, and the Lord inquires about their welfare. Krishna cares for his devotees, and therefore, we also want to care for devotees. That is the highest service, to serve Krishna's devotees. Hearing Krishna's inquiry about their welfare, Yudhisthira and the others were so pleased. And they responded factually that you're inquiring about our welfare, but what could be the problem with anyone who has just heard the nectar of talks about you? The nectar of these talks about you starts in the minds of the great souls, comes out through their mouths, and then into the ear cups of our ears. Anyone who's once heard that, their welfare is eternally fine. And furthermore, there's the radiance of your form. Just by seeing your form, all the threefold miseries, all material consciousness is dispelled. So in this way, the Yudhisthira and company acknowledge the Lord's inquiry about their welfare, but they point out the super excellent advantages of bhakti yoga. You know that's how nectar devotion starts? Pointing out the super excellence of pure devotional service. Kalesha gni shubhata moksha lagrita krit sudur lava sandrananda visheshatma. Pure devotional service destroys all material difficulties. It's auspicious for everyone. It minimizes liberation, freedom from material suffering. Sandrananda, intense bliss. And pure devotional service is so powerful and attractive that it even attracts Krishna. Oh, Yudhisthira is verifying that. There's no problem with us. The other clans, the other dynasties, were glorifying the Yadavas because they said, just see how fortunate you are. You have Krishna tied to you through marriage, tied to you through blood. What a perfection. And he's mixing with you as a family member. How fortunate you are. Interwoven throughout these chapters at Samantapuntak, you'll find great lessons in appreciating devotees, relishing devotees, as altogether the devotees engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And of course, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole text overflows with Vaishnava interaction, all based on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Hopefully we'll understand that we really need the association of devotees. It actually can't be something that we just put up with. Well, I guess in the beginning, in order to be an accredited devotee, you have to be an association of devotees. Then you get your recommendation for initiation. And after that, well, it depends if you want second initiation. If you don't want second initiation, then you can really just do your own thing after first initiation. But if you want second initiation, you gotta be good for a little while longer. And then after you rack up a few initiations, been around for a few years, then you can just fly your own kite. After all, bhakti is an individual thing. Who can know what's in your heart? How can you know what's in others' hearts? Anyway, whatever you do, Krishna will understand. Especially since not everyone can be a strict devotee. So you just got to do what you got to do according to what you think you can do. So, as the years go by, due to lack of attentive chanting, stopping the chanting, unfortunate offenses to other devotees, the devotional creeper wanes, and we just realize it's just so much nicer in my own home, you know. Everything goes my way in my house. But to make the long distance to associate with devotees, especially since I moved far away, to make the long trek just to be hassled, that's not worth it. We can save ourselves so much trouble if we learn how to be so grateful for the association of devotees. We should always think, I don't actually understand my good fortune. I don't understand the depths of my fortune. I don't understand the greatness of these devotees. Krishna, one day, please give me a glimpse into the glories of Vaishnava Sangha. That would be such a great benediction for me. So if we continually pray like that, indeed, one day Krishna will give you a glimpse. Such a prayerful attitude in the heart is much better than just tolerating the association of devotees. Now, Lord Chaitanya says, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Okay. Yes, all glories to the assembled devotees. Do you like to be tolerated? How many of you would relish a relationship in which you were just tolerated? You would find it just very flat and stale. Everyone wants to feel that their presence is enlivening. No one wants to be tolerated. And indeed, actually, you don't want to be around people that you have to tolerate. It's like, look, you know, if I had a choice, I wouldn't be with you. But since I have to, you know, I guess we'll have to put up with each other. Very unenlivening situation. How to survive in the association of devotees? I've said it before. It takes a lot of beseeching Krishna, begging Krishna, please empower me to associate with devotees. You can't do it based on mundane social skills. This is a big mistake that many devotees think, unfortunately. Well, some people have an easier time to associate with devotees because they got those social skills, gift of the gab. It's not like that at all. The ability to swim in the Vaishnava Sangha comes from a heartfelt desire, and then Krishna empowers your heart with how to associate with devotees. It's not based on social skills, how to win friends and influence people, how to say the right thing at the right time. No. I remember as a wee lad, my father thought I wasn't being sociable enough, so he got me some books, you know, the famous Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends, Influence People, you know. So I read the book, and it tells you things like, whenever you meet someone, there were no computers then, so whenever you meet someone, you have an index card, you write on the index card special things about them, and then, you know, the next time you meet that person, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, your hobby is stamp collecting. Oh, another person says, wow. How caring you are. I remember I even tried it a few times as a little kid, you know. You know, I write down a next card, you know. Uncle so-and-so, he really, you know, his hobby is playing the organ. And so according to Dale Carnegie, you note that, and then you try to, how do you say, encourage the person based on that. So I went up to Uncle so-and-so, how's the organ playing going? And then to butter him up, I said, could you teach me how to play the organ? And I watched, he just like, he was just so enlivened. My father was watching very approvingly, very good shot. And it just seemed so contrived to me. I just couldn't go on with it. So I just, you know, I went to my mother and I complained, you know. That's all right. That's all right, son. Your father means well. Just go, just read the Bible, that's all. And thank you. So, we may think that we need those kind of Dale Carnegie, you know, social skills to interact with devotees. And the reason why we aren't blessed with deep interactions with devotees is because, well, some people have, some Vaishnavas have the social skills, others don't. And so that's just the way it is? No. Interactions between devotees. You can really get a taste for that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They are a divine empowerment. So therefore you beg Krishna, please, teach me the art. Empower my heart with the skills how to associate with devotees. And that sincerity, that genuineness will become apparent. And you'll be so happy because you know, on my own, I couldn't do this, but somehow the Krishna has given me a little ability to associate with devotees. Just think, if I was really sincere, how much more ability I would have. In this way, a devotee is perpetually grateful for devotee association. Similarly, in dealings with one's spiritual master, one should not think that it's all about, you know, saying the right words at the right time. Jai Guru Dave, your mercy is all I need of. It's nice to repeat the Shastra, of course, but our heart has to be there. At the same time, just because our heart may not be fully there in the beginning, doesn't mean we shouldn't repeat the Shastra. We repeat the Shastra with the hope that gradually our hearts will fully be there. Learning to ride a bicycle, sadhana bhakti, you do things under injunction, and because loving Krishna is the natural propensity of the heart, it's not an artificial thing to practice something that's natural. So, I remember. Because in Nectar Devotion it says whenever one greets one spiritual master, one recites some words of praise. And so, one devotee in Los Angeles, Jayodas. And Prabhupada was getting into his car to go for morning walk. And the devotee, he just said in just an earnest, completely sincere way, devoid of all prestige or pride, Srila Prabhupada, the only oasis in the desert. Right in the middle of big silence amongst 50 devotees. And Prabhupada just gently looked up, lifted his head. Thank you. And got into the car. A simple devotee, but he had said it with just such conviction, and at the same time he really felt, told me, you know, I read Nectar of Devotion, this is how I really feel this way, I'm taking my opportunity. I thought, wow, why couldn't I have done that? Of course, Srila Prabhupada being such an extraordinary devotee of the Lord, he saw all the angles. One devotee in Vrindavan, who whenever Prabhupada would walk out of his quarters, he would recite words of praise. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, oh, Srila Prabhupada. Day after day, he would do like that. But one time he did it, and then Prabhupada just looked up to him and said, when are you going to do something practical? Still, that devotee was not wrong to do that. Just Prabhupada was taking it to another level. All right, I've heard all your praise. Now, what are you doing around here? What's your service? In our dealings with our spiritual master, we also should be very prayerful. And don't think that immediately you're going to master dealings with your spiritual master. You get pointers from other devotees. What do you say when you're around Guru Maharaj? What do you say when you're around your Guru Maharaj? How's your Guru Maharaj? How's his personality? Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's it. Each Guru Maharaj is a different personality, and so, you know, play it by ear, you know, you see how it goes. And yeah. Best way is to pray to Krishna, because the spiritual master is the humble servant of Krishna through the Siddha succession. So you pray to Krishna, just like you pray to Krishna how to associate with devotees, you pray to Krishna how to associate with your spiritual master, and Krishna will empower you. And therefore you'll be able to ask the questions that you should ask, relevant questions, and you won't ask the questions you shouldn't ask. You won't be too casual, and you won't be so formal that you can't open your mouth. This is all these abilities come by empowerment from the Lord in the heart. And our mistake would be to think that such dealings with the devotees and with the spiritual master are all based on your material expertise, how talkative you are, do you have the gifts of the gab, do you know how to be tactful and socially polite. No. Bhakti is something else. Bhakti. The revival of bhakti in our heart is the gift of the Supreme Lord, especially when the devotee intercedes for another devotee. And the best one to intercede on our behalf is Srimati Radharani. When she becomes pleased with our service, she turns to Krishna and says, this devotee is better than me. Please accept this devotee. And when Krishna fully accepts your service, you'll know about it. It's not that the service that is done in the beginning stages of bhakti has no meaning for Krishna. Still, there comes a point when Krishna makes it clear, I personally am accepting your service. I am pleased by your loving attitude. Just like in any ordinary relationship, there comes a point when things really click. But it's not that all the activities before that point were useless. So let us become inspired by this chapter, two chapters in Bhagavatam, about the combination in one place of the Aishwarya and Madhura and the interactions between the various devotees. Well, I was going to really talk about Dasya Bhava. In this verse today, Kalindi is describing herself as just a maidservant. I'm engaged as a sweeper in his palace. And so many of the other queens are going to also describe themselves as just the maidservants of Krishna. We say Dasya Bhava because this is how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presents in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that amidst all, that running through all the rasas, running through all the relationships, is the relationship of servitorship, and that therefore everyone in the spiritual world, one way or another, sees himself as a servant of Krishna. Even the superiors of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mayi, somehow, although it's difficult to understand, they express servitorship to Krishna. So therefore, the question asked by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is, who is it that doesn't have this spirit of servitude? And he goes through a long, beautiful explanation how all the different residents of the spiritual world have this feeling of we are Krishna's servants. The gopis have it. In the Brahmara Gita and the Gopi Gita in the 10th canto, from time to time they express, we are just Krishna's maidservants. The queens of Dwarka have it, as you hear in this chapter. The cowherd boys, even though they're friends with Krishna, they can act as Krishna's servants, fanning him, massaging his feet. Nanda Maharaj Yashoda Mayi, as parents, superiors, they're rendering service. All the incarnations of Godhead would rather be servants than God because they taste the higher pleasure as servants. So Kaviraj Goswami explains that the conception of feeling oneself to be Krishna's servant emanates from Balaram. Balaram also has this. Although in Braj Leela he's related to Krishna's friend and a bit of seniority also. Still, Balaram sees himself as a servant. Why do we have aversion to being Krishna's servant? This is our disease of material existence. Therefore, our conclusion is, the more that we have devotional service, the more wealthy we are, and the less that we have devotional service, the more unfortunate our life is. That is the conclusion of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami from Chaitanya Charitamrita.